If you will, open your Bibles with me to Isaiah 30. One of the things we're going to talk about this morning is the mercy of God. You got four things there on your sheet. One of them is, who am I? And in the big picture of this life, who are you? Who am I? You know? Sometimes I think we get lost. We begin to forget. We haven't realized it. Who was I? How did I get there? And how did I get here? Or better yet, who brought me here? In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, it says, "Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you." The word mercy in the Hebrew, rakam, is the most emotional of the terms used to describe the Lord's love for His people, which sometimes can be translated compassion. It literally means bowels. That you've loved somebody so much, you feel it in the pit of your stomach. It's funny. Because it seems like the older you get, you realize how much you do love certain ones around you. It also goes on to say, to describe it, it's to love deeply in the bowels, the pit of your stomach. To have mercy, to be compassionate, to have tender affection. It's to have forbearance from inflicting punishment on an adversary or a lawbreaker. The compassion which causes one to help the weak, the sick, or the poor. A clear virtue of a true Christian. God's mercy was shown in giving us His Son to die in the place of sinful man. And the mercy of Christ taking that sin upon Himself so that you and I could actually have life. Rakam. It's in the bowels of the stomach. In this particular text, there's another word, gracious. When you begin to look it up, it's hanan in the Hebrew, which actually is mercy. It's just a different way. So what you have is you have hanan, which is to be gracious. You have kadesh, it's kindness, and kasad, to be good. Hanan, to be gracious. And in the Greek, the word mercy is elios, which is kindness. And a weak termos is compassion. So just within this one paragraph right here alone, this one verse, we see rakam twice and hanan once. The Lord's mercy is great. He longs to be gracious to us, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on us. For the Lord is a God of justice. He divides good from evil. And then He says, how blessed are all those who long for Him, who wait for Him. Isaiah 55. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God speaking to us. The way He thinks is not the way we think. Nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. The way we do things are not the way He does things. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. I mean, we're down here. We're on the earth. He's in heaven. He is holy. He is pure. Unapproachable light. A man of unclean lips are we. We see things this way. We see things this sinful. But God sees things from up there in heaven. He sees things. He's holy. He is pure. He says, my thoughts than your thoughts. The way He thinks about things are different than the way we think about things. We see His mercy through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we see His mercy in our own lives. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 5. He did not leave us without a witness. He left us his word. Ecclesiastes 5. Very powerful chapter. Verse 1. It says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God. Watch your steps. Watch as you're going. Watch the way you approach as you're entering into that house of God. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen. The word draw there can also be described as enter into. So, near can be described as a close relationship. So he turns and he says, guard your steps, watch your steps as you go to the house of God to enter into a close relationship. To listen. Rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they're doing evil. So what he's letting us know, he says, as you are approaching that house of God, he says, his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I need to make sure that when I'm going to church, I'm going to listen. That I'm asking God, Lord, teach me your word today. That I'm not coming thinking, here I am going to offer something to God. I'm coming to bring my sacrifice. I'm going to make God happy today because I'm going to church. He says, no. He says, as you're going, you guard those steps. You watch those steps. As you begin to prepare that heart. You begin to say, okay, Hebrews says training our senses. We start to realize it's real easy to start going through this life every day and not even thinking about why we do what we do. We just do it. We just do it because it's just what we do. That's our thoughts. We got to do what I got to do today. Got to go to work. Got to pay the bills. You know, go to church. It's what you're supposed to do. But God in His mercy, He gave His Son to die on the cross to go to hell and back to establish His church through His Son's sacrifice. He says, I've established this. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God to listen. Lord, what do you have for me today? How may I learn from you today? Not, I'm going to make God happy today. I'm going to church. Or I got to do, you know, you're supposed to go to church this Sunday morning. No, no, no. Lord, I want to hear what you have for me today. He goes on to say in verse 2, do not be hasty in word. Or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. That we realize that our God is a holy God, merciful and mighty. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Who am I? In the big picture of this life, who are you? And who do you see yourself as? Who does God see us as? Who am I? Who are you? Verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That those same spiritual blessings that are in heaven can be ours in Christ Jesus. Joy, peace, purpose, comfort, fulfillment. It goes on to say in verse 4, just as He chose us in Him. Okay, I need you to underline that. Chose us. You're chosen. That's who you are. Who am I? You're God's chosen. That's who you are. If you've ever battled in your own life with thinking, you know, does anybody ever even notice me? Or, you've tried so hard to please certain people and you just can't do it. Or that person left without even saying hello to me. Let me encourage you today. God's placed that feeling in your heart so that you would begin to understand how everybody else feels. And take it when I tell you this from somebody who's been through it. And then the light just comes on one day. And he says, go check on everybody else. That feeling goes away. But you're chosen. You've been chosen. Precious in the sight of God. He says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons. Underline that. You're a son. Predestined, a goal, a predetermined plan. You are an adopted son of God. I am a son. You're an heir. That's it. Who am I? I'm a son of God. I just thought I was just regular old Joe. You know, go to work every day. I pay my bill. No. Not in his plan. You're his son. A predetermined son. That's going to be my son. That's my boy. That's my daughter. He goes on to say, through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. Underline that. You're delivered. Those sins of the rest of my life, they're no longer seen. Psalms, I believe it's 103, says he takes those sins and he throws them as far as the east is from the west. You are delivered. I am a delivered son of God. Chosen for this. That's who I am. That's who you are. In his picture, that's who you are to him. Delivered. It goes on to say, through his blood, through the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of our trespasses, all those things that I know I willingly went against God. I often laugh when I was a child. I remember going through the grocery store with my mom. I used to steal these I think it's these little chunk bars. I don't know if they make them anymore. But I remember I used to wait till I got home. And I'd open them up in my room and I'd eat them. But then one day I got bold. I got in the car with her. I stole a whole bag of Reese's Pieces. And I opened them things up in the car and I started eating them. And she says, what are you doing, Joshua? She made me march right back in there. And she had to pay for it. But boy, she let me have it. But God said, you know what? You're delivered. All those times you went against me, you're redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. That's who I am. The forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, the abundance, the wealth of his grace, this unmerited favor that we didn't deserve, he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Verse 9, he made known, underline that, he made known to us the mystery of his will. You're an insider. You've been given inside information. The world doesn't have. You're an insider. God's made us privy to what his will is. That he sent his only begotten son. That whosoever should believe would have everlasting life. According to his kind intention, which he purposed in Jesus. It's an amazing thing that Christ allows us to be a part of these things. That God, in his mercy, has changed us. Turn with me to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. And this big picture. Sometimes it's hard to forget who we are. The world has a way of beating us down. We have a way of beating each other down. And it's through God's mercy that he begins to change our own hearts. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his, there's that word again, got to underline that one, great mercy, has caused us, get ready, underline this one, to be born again. You're a born againer. You wonder where that came from. I'm a born again Christian. You're a born againer. Who am I? Born againer. Josh Lindy right here, huh? How you doing? I remember one time I was on a job and I said, I'm just gonna come right out with it. Watch this. And I went up to the guys, they were electricians, I think, and I said, hey, you guys believers? And they were like, no, dude. And I was like, I thought I'd just check. I am. Josh Lindsay, by the way. Born againer is who you are. We've been born again to a living hope. We're not the same people. We're 2 Corinthians says, you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. I am not that. I've been born again. I've been given life. I've been given new life. To a living hope. This hope's alive. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To obtain an inheritance. Okay, there's the heir again. Which is imperishable and undefiled. It cannot fade away. It cannot be contaminated. And will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Who are protected by the power of God through faith. For salvation ready to be revealed in this last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed. You must go through these trials, this pain and this suffering by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him. Underline that word. You're a believer. Who are you? I believe. I greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. I believe. Where's all your joy come from? I believe. I can't. There's various trials going on right now. I understand. But it's growing my faith. Man, my faith just keeps... I just know he's good. I keep getting stronger. He's getting stronger. Wow. You're also a sufferer. Because if you're distressed by those various trials, you can underline that. You're a sufferer for Jesus. I'm a sufferer. That's who I am. Because Romans tells me that the things to come are this suffering, and don't even hold a candle to what's coming to us believers, to us heirs, to us predetermined sons of God. That's who I am. That's who I am. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. Who was I? Man, who was I? Because that's who I am now, in God's eyes. Isn't that great? As far as the east is from the west, never to be seen again, our sins. Gone. Who was I? In Ephesians 2. It says, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Okay, I was dead. You can underline that one. In my trespasses and sins. He says trespasses and sins. So, like, you know those times where you stole the Reese's Pieces and you willingly went against God, you trespassed the law? He says, and your sins, you know, just missing the mark, just not being perfect. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. The ages and the times of this world. The way the world was operating. I was just operating right along with them. In that cycle. According to the prince of the power of the air. Of the spirit. That is now working in the sons of disobedience. See, we have a living in a world today where Scripture is very clear in that one verse. Read it with me. Formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. What's wrong? They need Jesus. That's what they need. The spirit that's working in the sons of disobedience. What's going to fix the problem? Jesus. Can Jesus give them a job? Yes, he can. Can Jesus get them sober? Yes, he can. Can Jesus fix their problems? Yes, he can. Can he put a roof over their head? Yes, he can. God is able. God is able. Every hair on our head is numbered. Receive Christ. They're working. In the sons of disobedience, the Spirit is working. It says, among them we too. Okay, underline that one. We too all formerly lived. So we were in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So we were lusters. We were indulgers of the flesh and of the mind. I was a trespasser. I was a sinner. I was a son of disobedience. That's who I was. That's who we were. It says, as he says, and among them we too all. You see that? Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging, going after the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's who I was. That's who we were. And three, how did I even get there? How did I get to that place, you know, where I just found myself going after these things? And I got the answer for you. It's in the same verse. Read with me. See that little comma right after mine? See that little comma right there? And it says, and we're by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We made our own decisions. That's how we got there. You mean I got to that place where I was separated from God? Where I was lost in my sin? Because I made my own decisions? That's right. By nature, I was a child of wrath. That's why in Proverbs it says, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He makes your path straight. See what I mean? God's Word, the mercy. And He says, by nature, we naturally do what we think is best. We're on earth. We're thinking, what's best for me? How's this going to work out for me? And He says, by nature, we're children of wrath. The very word nature there is the nature of the thing. It's the force and the laws. It's the order of nature. It's just the way it is. If I could just put it back, that's just the way things work. That deer, what's he do? He sharpens them antlers up, or he tries to get the red velvet off of them by scratching on the tree. It's just what he does. My dog naturally wants human food in the trash can. It's just what he does. And he goes hard after it, too. It's just nature. That smells a lot better than these little brown pellets you're giving me, Josh. And I go, why do you do that? He goes, I don't mean to. I'm sorry, this is my nature. I'm like, you, oh, woo. By nature, children, orders, it says, which is opposite. It's opposite to what is abnormal or perverse. It's a mode of feeling and acting, which by a long habit has become nature to us, which stands in contrast with the change of heart and the changed life, which has been wrought through Christ by the blessing of divine grace. It's our own nature to make our own decisions, to lead our own way, to go our own way, to think, what's going to be best? And instead of stopping and saying, I need to acknowledge God right here. But that's why in Acts 2, You can turn there if you'd like. Peter gets done. Pentecost has come. The Holy Spirit fell. Peter stands up and he starts preaching. And then he turns in verse 36. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucify." Now when they heard this, they were pierced, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" The moment of salvation. They stopped thinking, by nature, what do I do? But they stopped and they turned and they said, "What do I need to do? What do I need to do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Going your own way. Turn around. Turn." Take a deep breath. Say, "Lord, I want to do it your way. Because I don't want to keep going my own way anymore. I want to do things your way." The mercy of God that He would even allow us to come to this place. "And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, your tutor, your teacher, your guide, your comforter." How did I get there? It was by nature. I made my own decisions. I did what I wanted to do. I did what I thought was best, which led me down a road of sin, a road of trespassing against God's commandments and His Word. But I realize now that I'm not that person anymore. And if you've made a decision for Jesus Christ, neither are you. But you see, there was that point where those people said, "What must we do?" And Peter turns. You can imagine. I mean, up to this point, man, these guys were, those Pharisees were really on them. I can imagine how scared Peter was, or could have been. But it doesn't seem like he was scared once he started preaching, buddy, because the Spirit of God fired him up. I can imagine. How did we get here, where we are today? Turn me back to Ephesians 2. It goes on to tell us in the very next verse. That's who we were. That's who I was. That's who you were. By nature, I was a child of wrath. That's who I was. So I was a trespasser. I was a lawbreaker. I was a sinner. I was a son of disobedience. I was a luster and an indulger. I was a child of wrath. Those are hard things to swallow, aren't they? Those are hard things to swallow. But if we're honest with ourselves, we have to realize what we were. You have to. Because every now and then it's good to come back and to remember just how much Jesus has done in my life. It's all Him. It was none of me. It was all Him. So how do we get here? Or better yet, who's brought us here? Who's brought us to this delivered state? And when I say here, I ain't talking about church. I'm talking about redeemed. I'm talking about redemption. I'm talking about a believer. I'm talking about born again. I'm talking about I am saved and I stand here a new man. You sit here, new people. A new brother, a new sister in Christ. How did we get here to this redeemed state? In verse 4 of Ephesians 2. "But God being rich in mercy," because of, there's that word again, "because of His great love." And go ahead and underline. You might, if you got a highlighter, you want to highlight 4 through 9. And then if you want to throw 10 in there, you can throw 10 in there too. But if you got a pen, you just want to underline that whole paragraph right there. Because that's a very powerful paragraph. And if you got a highlighter, and when it's really, really important, I'll highlight it, underline it, and circle it. And then if it's got a star by it, it's really, really, really important. So basically, when you're done, your whole Bible will be highlighted, underlined, circled, and starred, the whole thing, when you're done. Basically. Because all of it is important. All of God's Word is important. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, the word transgressions is a deviation from the truth and the upright path. When I was dead in my deviation from the truth and the upright path, He made me alive. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. The word saved there is to rescue you from danger or destruction. We were destined for destruction. And He saved us by His mercy, by His grace. And raised us up. So He elevated us up. So He picked us up out of the mire with Him. And He seated us. He established us with Him. And He said, this is your seat. This is where you are. So you're coming with me. You're mine. Seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. That's who I am. We are a redeemed, delivered Son of God. So that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace, which that word actually ties into that word mercy again. And kindness, that ties into that word mercy again. They all tie into each other. Grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ. That He's actually chose us, rescued us, to show the rest of the world the goodness of God. Wow. So, should we be praising while we're out and about? Amen. I mean, when we went to the emergency room the other night, and I just wanted to say thank you to all of you for your text messages and your prayers and your thoughts and your messages and the meals. Whew, I've been eating a lot. And so I wanted to say thank you for that. But one of the things I found is we were in that emergency room. He says, I'm going to make you fishers of men, right? Right? Isn't that what He says? All right? Okay. I was throwing my line out. And wasn't getting no bites. When I say I'm throwing my line out, what I'm talking to you about is I was going, you know, praise the Lord, nothing coming back. So there was no bites. But when I say, you know, that's right, man, praise the Lord, you know. All right, that's a good spot right there. No bite. So I'm reeling it back. And I say, yeah, you know, our church family's really been coming around us. No bite, nothing coming back. That's fishing for men. Even giving God praise because give Him the glory due ascribed His name. Even if we're just saying, you know, just praise God, man. Praise God for that. Praise God. Yeah. Oh, you're a believer. Yeah, I'm a believer. Then you get a little louder. Yeah. I'm a born againer. You born again? For a long time, I remember that word was all over the place. When I was growing up, born again, born again, born again. Now you don't hear that much anymore. The days are getting darker, as Ephesians tells us. That means our light shines brighter. And it's not about us. It's about Him. And what I realize is in those opportunities when we just are at the store and we show the kindness of Christ, or we give God glory, give Him praise, give Him honor, look for those opportunities, throwing those lines out. But we finally got up to the emergency, or we got up into the main hospital, and as most of you know, the nurse received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And it was weird because I don't even think we threw the line out. She started asking us about our past, and we said, yep, it was the drug list. You know, yep. Nope, not that one. Yep. And she asked what happened, and we said, we received Jesus. That was our line. And tears started coming out of her eyes. That was it. She received Christ shortly after that. But we got there because of Him. Let me close. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. It was all because of Him. And that He's actually chose us. That verse in Ephesians is very important. If you're ever doubting the goodness of God, if you're ever doubting His love for you, go back to 1 Peter 1. Go back to Ephesians 1. And you read those verses and you remember. And you look at that cross, because it was the cross. It was a sacrifice of Jesus that got us to redemption. That's where we are. It was Him. It was the mercy of God sending His Son. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 18 says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." You're not getting any bites. "But to us who are being saved, it is the very power of God." Verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." So all that wisdom of the wise and of the world, it's going to be destroyed through the cross. "And the cleverness of the clever I will set aside." It's going to be set over here. It's no longer be any good. It's not going to be useful anymore because it's going to be set aside. It's no good. "Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because of the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So to the world, this message is foolishness. But to those of us who are being saved, it's the power. Amen. And that we come before and we just say, "This is what He's done in my life. What'd you do?" I asked Him into my heart. "How'd you do that? Let me tell you. I received Him as my Lord and Savior. That's what I did. I believed that when He died on that cross, it covered my sins. I wanted Him to be Lord of my life. I wanted forgiveness of my sins and my trespasses, going my own way and going against Him." Chapter 2. "And when I came to you, brethren, I didn't come with superiority of speech." Came with this grandiose speech and message giving and preaching. He said, "Or wisdom, proclaiming to you the mystery of God, the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's it. That cross is why we are here where we are today. Because if it was not for that cross, we would not be here. We would not stand redeemed if it was not for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now to the world, that's foolishness. And to sometimes, if we're not careful, well, we can begin to put our trust in other things as well. Yes, we can. He says in verse 26 of chapter 1, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that He may nullify the things that are," cancel them out, "so that no man may boast before God, but by His doing you are in Christ Jesus." By His doing we are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that just as it is written, "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." That we don't boast in ourselves. That it was only through Him that I was set apart, I was sanctified. That it was only through Him that I was raised up and redeemed and delivered from the trespasses and the sins. That I was even showed how to live a right manner in righteousness because of Him. And as we come to these places, it's easy for us to begin to lean back on that old nature. But He says the wisdom of God is in Christ Jesus. So we come and we put all our trust in Jesus Christ today. And there may be things in our own lives where we have come and we have said, you know, and not even knowing it now, we haven't put our trust in Jesus Christ. We've haven't totally surrendered our lives to Him. We've held on to things that we thought were going to work. We've taken away glory from God and given it to man. Or we thought more highly of ourselves than we shouldn't have. And there may be things in our own lives that we need to reevaluate even today. And say, ask yourself today, are you ready to put all your trust in Jesus Christ today? Are you ready to make that decision today? And say, you know what, Josh, I don't know if I've ever come to that point where I really made a decision. Maybe this whole time I just thought I was doing the right thing, going to church, and I thought that I was doing the right thing. But I don't remember coming to that point where Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And he says we have a way of fooling ourselves. So today, maybe we've done something. We've gotten off course and we've decided to do things in our own way and neglect the Word of God and the power of God and the Spirit of God and the person of Christ Jesus. Today, let that be that day where you receive Him. That you come back to the Lord and you say, I want to do things His way. Are you ready to make that decision today? You take a few minutes and pray as Sonny begins to lead us in some music.
Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? So if you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find His arms open wide. Receive Him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart He'll abide. For time after time He has waited the door. Oh, how He wants to come in.
So, Father, we want to thank You today. We want to thank You for Your mercy and for Your grace, Lord, that we are who we are because You've ordained it. And that, Lord, You've raised us up with You. You seated us with You in the heavenly places, Father. That we are not just mere goers of this world anymore. But, Father, You've chosen us and pulled us out to be lights in this dark place. Let us remember this, Father. Write these things on our hearts. Let us remember that, Father, we were trespassers. We were sinners. And Lord, when we go and make our own decisions without acknowledging you in all of our ways, then, Lord, our paths get crooked. But when we acknowledge you in all of our ways, Lord, you make our paths straight. So, Lord, we want to thank you for the cross. We want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord, that it wasn't man's wisdom, it wasn't our wisdom, and that we didn't have anything to do with our salvation, Lord, but it was all you. That it was your blood on that cross, Father. And that it says that, and if any man, that whosoever would receive you, that he would be a son of God too. So, Father, we pray today that, Lord, if we go our own way, Father, forgive us and get us back on the right track. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.